Let's turn to God's word now, shall we? Turn to Psalm 119 and verse 105. You'll find it on page 620 if you're using a church Bible. Psalm 119, verse 105, page 620. The psalmist writes, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word. Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." This is the word of the Lord. And just let me pray before we look at this together. Heavenly Father, we have sung that your words are wonderful. We pray you would write their truth upon our longing hearts. We pray that you we know that you have the words of life, and we pray that you would make your glory known as we look at them together now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Psalm 119 is a psalm all about what, do you think? God's word, thank you. Yeah, go back. God's word, that's right. It's all about the Bible. This thing that you hold in your hands, this book, is God's word. And the psalmist, what we mean by that is the person who wrote this psalm, they use two images to describe God's word to us in verse 105. What are those two images in verse 105? Give me one, Theo. Lamp to my feet. Second one. Somebody over this side, you lot are very quiet this morning, apart from Io. Io, you've been amazing. The rest of the people around you, very mute. Come on, guys, give me a second one. Say that a bit louder. Light on my path. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, whilst those two things are similar, lamp and light, they're not doing the same thing, okay? They're lights that are doing slightly different jobs. So the first job that the Bible does is it's a lamp to my feet, okay? The idea here is like a torch when you're walking in the dark, okay? See that? That's a torch, okay? Now, this torch is pretty useless for looking at things in the distance, but it is pretty good at shining on the floor so I can see to do what? Where to put my feet, yeah? Okay? Where I'm walking. Now, here is a picture in Zimbabwe when it is just about to get dark. From what you know about darkness and where this picture is taken, why do you think it's a good idea that I have a torch? Oscar? I could bump myself on the head, yeah. I could fall over on something worse than nettles, but yes, yeah. Jack, give me another one. I could stand on a snake. Believe you me, that is a genuine fear that most of us walked around with. Yes, spider. Spider's webs over there are huge, okay? I got one in the face. I was on the back of that truck, and I didn't duck quick enough, okay? It's the worst experience of my life. That was in the daylight. Imagine how much worse it would be in the dark. Yeah, there's no lights. It is proper dark out there. Like, we don't get dark here in London. It gets proper dark. There are rocks, there are holes, there are trees, there are spider webs, there are creatures. You want to know where you're putting your feet. And the idea here in the Bible, that the Bible is a lamp to our feet, is that we are on a journey, okay? It's a lamp to my feet. I'm walking. I'm on a journey through life, and God's word is helping me to see where I put my feet, because walking around in this world is like walking in the dark. Lots of things that could trip us up, lots of things that could harm us. We're not always sure where to put our feet. God's word shows me where it is safe to walk. It shows me where to put my feet. It is a lamp to my path. Sorry, it's a lamp to my feet. It is also a light on my path. Isaac, could you go to the back, please? Okay. This is the idea of this one. Are you ready for it? Okay. Isaac, light us up. Everybody look. Go. Switch it on at the wall. Hey! Okay, I get that this is not the best example, although actually it's clouded over enough that... So, can you see, I've got my path here, okay, and I'm looking at where I'm going, but I'm also looking at what? The light. Where is that light? It's ahead. It's my destination, okay? So I've got this light here showing me where to put my feet, but I've also got this light here showing me the direction that I'm going in, okay? Here's another picture. Thank you, Isaac. Here's another picture. This is where the sun is just about to set, but what you can't see, because the camera's not very good, is that there are actually the lights to the nearest city, Kadoma, okay? So I would know in the dark where I'm going because the lights of Kadoma are alight, and even though I can't see the city because there's a big ridge in the way and it's dark, I can head towards it. I know where I'm going. The light shows us our destination, and so we can walk to it and not get lost. So the question is, where are we going? What are we walking towards? What's the destination? Where is God's word? Where is the Bible leading me towards? Well, who does the psalmist say that this word is in the Bible? Whose word is it? Who does he say? Go for the obvious answer. Come on. Let's have this section here now. Come on. God. It's God. Look, if you're in any doubt, just look back at verse 89. Your word, Lord, is eternal. It is God's word. Okay? But notice, he doesn't just call him God. What does he call him? Verse 107. What does he call him? Big voice? Lord. Lord in capital letters. That is the special name for God. Lord in big capital letters is the English translation of God's special name, which is Yahweh. Very good. I'm impressed. So it's not just this idea that this is the word of a God who is off in the distance, powerful, but kind of long away. He's a bit impersonal. He's a bit distant. No, this is the God that we are in a covenant relationship with. That means we are in a special relationship with. He has said that he will love us and care for us and protect us and bless us in this special relationship, in this covenant with him. These are the personal words of the personal God. So can you see, God's word is more than just a bunch of true statements. It's more than life advice. It's more than a list of regulations and rules, do's and don'ts. It is the word of the Lord. The Lord who is present with his people. The Lord who loves his people. The Lord who is a father to his children and who is leading them to his home. God's word leads us to the God of the word. Let me say that again. God's word leads us to the God of the word. This is Alistair, okay? He runs the place that we stayed in on the second part of our trip. He is teaching me here about how to handle the snakes we're holding, reassuring me mostly that they're not going to kill me. But he knows almost everything there is to know about the Zimbabwean bush and the animals that live in it. There is nothing that he doesn't know about it, I am pretty sure. If I was going on a journey through Zimbabwe, I would want Alistair with me because he would tell me, don't go there, don't stand there, walk, back off, run. Okay? But the thing about Alistair is that me and him are pretty good friends now. I love him and he loves me. And so he cares about me. you notice those two things? Knowledge or wisdom and love. That means Alistair is someone I want to be on a journey with through Zimbabwe. And that's what the Bible is doing for us. It's helping us to walk through life close to God. The God who knows everything. The God who knows everything about us. And the God who is committed to us in love. The God who loves us. Knowledge and love. And the God who is helping us walk towards Him. Helping us to our destination. God's word leads us to God and shows us how to walk closely with God. And look at the impact that has on the psalmist. Look at the impact it has on the person that wrote these things, okay? First of all, it means he is committed to God's word. Verse 106, I've taken an oath, I've confirmed it. I will follow your righteous law. I'm committed to following your words. He trusts in those words. Verse 107, even though he suffered much, he trusts that the Lord is going to preserve him because he trusts in the God that spoke these words. Remember, the word of God leads us to the God of the word. It leads him to praise. Verse 108, accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth. It instructs him. It guides his path. Verse 108, I will not forget, teach me your laws. And in remembering God's laws, his word, it gives him security. It makes him feel safe. Verse 109, even though he takes his life in his hands, even though he's in danger, his word, God's word makes him feel safe. And so he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to God's word. He's going to believe what it says. He's going to do what it says. Verse 110. And so his heart, verse 112, is set on it. Do you know what it means to have your heart set on something? Okay? Who's got a birthday coming up soon? Okay, Theo Passmore. You've answered loads. Theo Passmore, what do you want most for your birthday? Parents, take a note. What do you want most for your birthday? Wireless headphones, okay? Theo's heart is set on wireless headphones. They're the things that he wants the most. Well, what is it the psalmist wants the most? He wants God the most. And he knows that that only comes as he comes to God through his word. And so his heart is set on him. His heart is set on God through his word. And you notice, verse 111, it brings him joy. It brings him joy. They are the joy of my heart. Knowing God, as we learn about God through his word, as we gain in wisdom about God, as we learn about his justice, as we learn about his love, his grace, his commitment, his power, as we learn about how he's acted in the past and therefore we can have confidence in what he's promised to do in the future, as we know him, as he shows us what he's like in his word, it brings joy to our hearts. Because that's what your heart was made to do. Your heart was made to walk closely with God. Okay, all the things that you chase after, they're actually really bad substitutes for walking closely with God. And you walk closely with God as you learn about him in his word. And it brings you joy because God is great. And so knowing God, the great God, brings you great joy. And ultimately, what it does is it leads us to Jesus. Because he is the Word, says John, made flesh. That means he is the Word of God that became visible. He is the Word of God who walked amongst us and spoke to us. He is the one that the whole of God's word points towards. He is the one that explains everything about God's word. He is the one that makes sense of the whole Bible. He is the one through who God spoke and the one through who all of God's promises come true. He is the one that leads us to God. We come to God, we know God, we receive the love of God, we have that joy as we walk with God through Jesus. God's word leads us to the Word. God's Word leads us to God's Son, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so there are three things that we need to do in response to God's Word. The first one is we need to recognize, I need it. I need God's Word. Life is full of darkness. The Bible says the world as it is in darkness. It is full of danger and sadness and confusion and trouble. And you don't have to be very old or experienced to know that that is true, right? You don't have to grow up and be very old before you realize that life is a bit confusing, life is a bit hard, things are quite scary, and often it feels like people don't know what they're doing. That is true on the outside. It is also true on the inside. My heart is also full of danger and confusion and sadness and trouble. And so how am I going to walk through this life in a way that is safe, in a way that is wise, in a way that is good, and hopefully because you want to walk in a way that is close to God? Well, by knowing and by looking and by longing for God's Word as it leads me to Jesus. So when I'm struggling and when I'm suffering, when I'm feeling attacked by others or left abandoned by others, when I'm confused about the world and I'm confused about what's going on in me, when I feel like I can't make that decision, when I'm tempted to wander off in a direction that is away from God, I need to remind myself, I need God's Word. It is the light. It is the light for my feet and the lamp on my path. It's the lamp to show me where to go. It's the light that keeps me walking towards God. I need it, and I should love it. And I should love God's Word because I love the God it leads me towards. You know, there is this wonderful cycle in God's Word that as you read God's Word, it helps you to see God, and so you love the God of the Word. And if you love the God of the Word, you're going to love God's Word, right? It's this wonderful cycle. God's Word leads me to love God, and because He is the God I find in His Word, it leads me to love the God of the Word. I will love the Word of God and love the God of the world. That means the more you read your Bible, the more you're going to love God. And the more you love God, the more you're going to want to read the Bible. And the more that you read the Bible, the more you're going to love God. And the more you love God, the more you're going to want to read the Bible. Okay? And that's how we should approach reading our Bibles. Don't just approach it to go, okay, how can I learn what this says so I could explain it to somebody else? How could I learn what it says so I can answer that person when they say, oh, I don't believe in God. Okay, I'm gonna get my bullet out here from God's Word to show you. Okay, I'm gonna shoot it at you. You don't just read it to, it can do all those things, but you don't just read it to gather information or respond to someone or to prove a point or even to justify yourself or even to accuse someone else. Now, when we read the Bible, we should be praying, Lord, help me to know you as I read your Word. And as I know more of you, help me to love you as I read your Word. Not just to love God's Word, but to love the God of the Word. And then what you need to do as you read God's Word is rejoice. Just look down at verse 131. What 131 says, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands, okay? This idea of panting means that I'm really thirsty, okay? It's been really hot this week. Anybody been really thirsty? Yeah? Has anybody done that thing where they suddenly go, oh, I'm so thirsty, and they run to the tap and they flick it on and they just gulp the water down. Anybody done that this week? Okay? Or has anybody been, they've been out and I'm so thirsty and you've run in and you've got the sugar-free, chemical-free Sprite and you've flicked open the bottle and it's psh, and you've just, anybody done that this week? Okay? How do you feel when you do that? Once you've guzzled down that water, how do you feel when you've done it? Describe the feeling to me. Come on. Who said refreshed? Thank you, Gugu. Refreshed. Sorry? Satisfied. In fact, actually, it's sometimes really difficult to describe how we feel. We make that noise. You know what that noise is? Oh, it's better. Relief. Brilliant word. Thank you. Relief. That's what God's word does. That's what God's word does. There's another psalm, and it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. God's word takes us to the God that our souls are panting for, the God who our souls are thirsty for, and as we drink him in through his word, it satisfies us. And I know you're thinking, well, that's great for you, Ollie. I haven't felt much like that this week. I've read God's word. It's felt more like a duty. I've finished it. I've not really understood it. I've not really got that sense of satisfaction. I've not felt joyful. And I haven't gone, oh, that's so much better. I can't always say these words of Psalm 119. I can't always say, I will follow your righteous laws. I constantly take my life, I will not forget your law. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I can't honestly say that all the time. And I just want to tell you, that's okay, because Jesus could. You may not be the perfect believer. You won't be the perfect believer this side of Jesus' return. You might be an increasingly better believer, but it's okay because Jesus is. Jesus is the one who could always say the Psalms perfectly. Jesus is the one who could always read the verses of Psalm 119, 105 to 112, and he meant it, and he believed it, and he followed it. He could say all of those words all of the time, and they were always true for him. And so you may not be the perfect believer, so keep coming to the perfect believer. Keep coming to Jesus. Keep resting in Jesus. Keep listening to Jesus as the word of God leads you to Jesus. And the more and more you do that, the more and more you come to Jesus, the more and more you seek Jesus, the more and more you will be satisfied. The more and more you will be able to go, ah. Oh. Because he will shape your heart to be like his heart. And you will find the joy in God that Jesus has in God. And so let me finish with one point that's away from us. You might be thinking, so why are we doing all this stuff about Zimbabwe? Why go there? I mean, it looks like Ollie had a pretty good time handling the snakes, looking at the zebra, swimming in the pool. Maybe did a bit of work whilst he was there. Why do we do that? Well, because there are lots of people in Zimbabwe who don't know God's word. And there are some pastors in Zimbabwe who really want help in being able to show people Jesus in God's word. And so as we go there and support them, we are helping them to help people look at God's word. We are helping them to help people to love the God of the Word and to know Jesus and the joy and satisfaction he brings. And I don't want you just to take my word for it. I took a video of a couple of these people, a couple of the pastors we work with, and they just briefly shared why it was helpful that we were going over and doing some Bible handling teaching with them. Three short clips. We're going to listen to those. Then Dudes is going to come and pray, and then the musicians are going to come and lead us in our final two songs. So perhaps, musicians, if you want to come up and be ready, let's play those videos, and then Dudes, you're going to pray when they've finished.
So, I was really helped under these teachings. I'm going to pass on to the church and also to my friends who are pastors to strengthen them and to teach what you have taught me, so that they also grow in the knowledge of him and to understand who is Christ and what he did for us, like what he taught us this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
He taught us that this is the gospel, to know him, Christ, and to know what he did for you. So my dependence is not on myself. My performance is on him.
Amen.
So encouraging and
else, which is not even a real the gospel. From what we learned from this conference, we have actually came up with a proper definition of what gospel is, of which gospel begins with defining the identity of Jesus. Who is he? What he did especially for us. And that on its own actually define what gospel is. Because most of the times you find that people, they consider, you know, these are health messages, wealth messages, success and victory messages, as if they are gospel. Yet gospel considers the cross, the sin, the cross, and the judgment. So to us, really, we appreciate even the team from UK. They are of great help to us, and we need them.
Primarily, I look after quite a number of pastors, rural pastors, city pastors, but all the pastors, as I can say, have never had training into pastoralship. There are people who have got a calling upon their lives. They love God. They love God's work, but they have no training. They don't know how to expound the scriptures, to rightfully divide the scriptures, how to study scriptures. And since I started, attending these TOTs, they helped me first personally, and I then take them to our pastors that I look, over, that I'm presiding over, and I go throughout the whole of Zimbabwe into the 10 provinces, and we have, the provincial overseer, the one who oversees the province. We have district pastors who sees. We have got other pastors under them, and they are pastors and the elders. And I take the teachings that we learn here, the principles that we learn here. I take the materials, which are the notes that you guys give us, and also the books that you give us. And we pass, those materials, around the pastors. We teach them, we train them, and they themselves will also take them to go and train their leaders in their local churches. It's not only limited to the pastors that are under us, but they invite other pastors from other churches, from other streams, from other denominations, who also come and benefit out of those things. So, the seed that you guys are sowing into me, God is multiplying it and, giving it to many other. We now have, pastors who can rightfully divide scripture, who can, teach the true doctrine, the right doctrine. Zimbabwe is so manifested by wrong doctrines. We have the white garments people. We have prosperity preachers, hyper-faith preachers. But this has helped our pastors to be steadfast, not to be tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine, but who really stand and spend time studying the word according to the teachings that we have received.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
God, our Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, which is indeed a lamp to our feet and the light on our paths. Thank you that Jesus Christ is the Word. He is the creator of all things. Nothing was created outside of Him. Indeed, He spoke the world into being. And so we thank you that Christ is indeed the light of the world. He is the light on our paths. And apart from Him, we are nothing. Thank you for the faithful teaching of your word here in this church and throughout the churches of the living God throughout the world. Thank you that Christ died for His people. Thank you that His blood is sufficient for people to be reconciled with you, God our Father. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is at work even today, even in our church this morning. And so I pray, Lord, that the word that we've heard here this morning may penetrate the depths of our hearts, that we may respond accordingly, loving God's word and loving the God of the word. May that change us. May that renew us. May that strengthen us as we go out this morning here as faithful servants of Christ Jesus. Father, I do want to thank you for the love of this church, the partnership with ZPT. Just thank you for ZPT as an organization. Thank you for the faithful servants that lead and administer that organization. Thank you for this TOT week that Ollie and Mark and Graham were able to lead out in Zimbabwe. Thank you for the Equip conference in Bulawayo. Thank you for challenging the pastors out there to know the true God, to know the true gospel of the living God, to know the true Christ, and to be able to share that truth so that many that are in darkness may come to the light. Lord, thank you again just for those Bibles that have now been cleared in Bulawayo and are reaching many that are in darkness. And thank you that your word is indeed becoming a lamp to the feet of those that have received the Bibles and the light on their paths. Thank you for the testimonies of those brothers out in Kadoma at Lasting Impressions, for how they've been equipped and enriched to take the word of God and share it with many. So we ask, Lord, that you may multiply the works of those men in Zimbabwe, that it may reach many pastors, but indeed it may reach many throughout the country. Lord, we pray that Zimbabwe may come back and acknowledge Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. So Lord, I just pray that you may just hear the prayers of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.